Alongside Ben McKee, I'm Austin Price for the VolQuest.com mini podcast. Instant reaction, Tennessee falls at Florida, 38-14 on Saturday. Ben, Tennessee made some plays in the first half. They had a 14-10 lead, at one point in the first half, and then things just kind of slowly unraveled. You know, Florida started making plays really easily. The opening drive of the second half, where Florida just went down and made it look like it was routes on air in a lot of ways. I thought it really kind of set the tone for the second half, and then the drop on fourth down to Jimmy Callaway really kind of ended Tennessee's chances of trying to make a second half comeback, in my opinion.
Yeah, just another game of missed opportunities, very similar to the Pittsburgh game, just a much different competitor this Saturday, and it all goes back to that last drive of the first half when Hendon Hooker is able to move the offense down the field, and there was some questionable clock management that Josh Heupel held himself accountable for after the game, saying that he wanted to keep Tennessee going up-tempo in that situation, and he regrets that decision and was kind of surprised by how quickly the referees were spotting the football, which obviously led to some more clock coming off or some more time coming off of the clock. But regardless, Tennessee does a good job of getting down in scoring position, and Chase McGrath misses a 47-yard field goal. And then you open the second half with Florida just marching down the field so easily, like you pointed out. And then you come back on offense, and once again, the offense is moving so well down the field. And you have a fourth and medium situation, and Jimmy Callaway drops a wide-open pass over the middle of the field that he definitely would have picked up the first down on, and he probably would have scored a touchdown if he could have made a guy miss. So that's 10 points right there, and you're looking at a totally different ball game. So to me, it was just another game of missed opportunities.
Yeah, and that's something Tennessee fans are tired of, hearing about. Missed opportunities. They're tired of hearing about, moral victories. They've done this for a decade. Now, I do think that what this staff is facing with the investigation, hurting recruiting, with all the kids that have went to the transfer portal, with all of that stuff that has went on over the last 9 months, that it is a little bit of a different scenario than what other Tennessee staffs have faced. But at the same time, they put their kids in position to make some plays tonight. They schemed up some ball plays, and they executed a few, but not enough.
Yeah, the drops were the biggest thing, in my opinion, or I guess technically you should say the penalties. 10 for 85, and the penalties become even more frustrating when you look at the box score and you see Tennessee did not turn it over a single time tonight, and Florida was actually minus one in the turnover margin because of the Alante Taylor forced fumble. So you would love to see that pay off, but it couldn't, because Tennessee had 10 penalties for 85 yards, and just stupid penalties. Yet again, Jimmy Holiday ejected for targeting in the midst of kick-catch interference on the punt return, and then there was a personal foul against William Mohan, or unsportsmanlike conduct. Don't really know what happened there, but Florida goes from having the ball on the 20 to 30-yard line to having it on the 40 on the other side of the field, and it didn't pay off in a score for Florida because Alante Taylor forced that fumble. But if you don't commit those penalties, maybe the defense gets off the field quicker and Hendon Hooker and the offense has more time to operate the two-minute, four-minute drill. So the penalties are just maddening, and it's something that Tennessee has to fix in a hurry, because the plays were there to be made tonight. The drops were maddening. Josh Heupel said that he did not anticipate the drops based off of what he has seen in practice. So you eliminate the drops, you eliminate the penalties, and this is the fourth quarter game, and they better eliminate those issues quick, because they have to win these next two games.
Yeah, the next two really spell the season, because yep. If they win at Missouri and then win at home against South Carolina, that gets them to 4-2. With South Alabama and Vanderbilt, a woeful Vanderbilt team that got just hammered today by Georgia, left on the schedule. So that should get them to 6. And so then you got a couple of, a game against Kentucky that's winnable. But Tennessee's got to win these next two. Missouri lost earlier today at Boston College in overtime, 41-34. This is a Missouri team that's coming home. They're very beatable if you're Tennessee, but you don't know the health of this football team. Hendon Hooker exited the game. Joe Milton came in. Still way too many overthrows. You know, it's that part of it, I just don't know if you can fix that at this point. I mean, it kind of is what it is. You know, but it's pretty clear that, you know, if Hendon won't go next week or is not able to go next week, it will probably be Joe Milton, at least in my opinion at this point. You know, and then Cooper Mays. I mean, like, Cooper came back tonight, Ben. You know, I thought really, you know, helped, you know, the offensive line, because I think it just made them stronger across the board, moving Carvin back to guard, having Cooper at center. Then he kind of bangs that and re-injures that ankle in the second half, and, you know, that's going to be a big blow if he can't go in these winnable games the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, the running game looked much better tonight, and it was part Jabari Small getting back and breaking off some nice runs. Tyon Evans looked great when he had the ball in his hands, had the long touchdown to start the scoring for Tennessee. Tennessee's first touchdown of the game on a third down on a screen. Got upfield quickly and was off to the races. But you had Tyon Evans, Jabari Small making plays, and Cooper Mays back at center, Jerome Carvin back at guard. The offensive line looked better. So Tennessee's going to need some luck here in terms of the injury bug, because even aside from learning that Milton's the guy next week if Hendon Hooker can't go, I think we also learned at quarterback that Hendon Hooker needs to be the quarterback going forward. I don't know that I would be messing around with starting Joe Milton and hoping that he can figure it out, because
Hendon Hooker is definitely your quarterback.
Yes.
unless you know he can't play.
Yes,
you know, he made enough plays tonight. I mean, is he perfect? No. I mean, he had a really bad, you know, because he had the guy almost draped all over him when he threw it to Jacob Warren.
Right.
But that was a big miss. And then obviously, you know, the receivers had their drops. But, you know, Hendon just gives you versatility. He's able to make some plays with his legs, you know, and then made enough plays with his arm tonight. You know, I think if you're Tennessee, you feel like, okay, we can build off of this.
Yep. I thought Hendon Hooker looked good tonight. Did he look great? No. Is he the perfect quarterback? No, but I thought he looked good. I think he's the best option, and I think it's pretty clear that he's the best option just with his arm and with his legs and the veteran savvy that he brings. And I was kind of puzzled by the end result of the penalties, because I thought for the first quarter and a half, really the first 25 minutes out of those first 30 that make up the first half, I thought Tennessee handled the crowd noise really well.
They did.
I thought they handled the communication well, and then it just fell apart there that last possession. And I think part of that is the veteran savvy that Hendon Hooker brings to the table. I think the biggest issue tonight was just not containing Emory Jones.
Yeah.
I've never been really high on Emory Jones, but he lit Tennessee on fire tonight.
Well, over almost about 150 yards rushing, and I didn't see the final stats. I know he's at 138.
Over 200 passing.
Over 200 passing. First Florida quarterback to do it since Tim Tebow, and he and Tebow were the only two to do it in the last 25 years to have over 200 yards passing and over 100 yards rushing in a game. Tennessee just couldn't contain him. I mean, how many times did he slip out the backside? I mean, they were very poor on defense in that regard.
And I was surprised by that, because you've got some older guys that can set the edge with Caleb Tremblay, Jaquan Blakely, Matthew Butler. Those are guys that understand the fundamentals of setting the edge and containing the quarterback. Jaquan Blakely raved about the importance of doing so when he spoke to us earlier this week. So that was a little surprising to me. And Emory Jones looked like a Heisman contender tonight. It was easy for him throwing the football, easy for him running the football, just again made it real easy and didn't really have much resistance from the Tennessee defense. And I will say, in the second half, Tennessee's defense was gassed. A couple of three and outs there from Tennessee's offense put them in some bad spots, and you had guys trying to tap out on their helmet to get out of the game. They were gassed there at the end.
Yeah, you know, Brent and I talked about it on the two-minute drill. I was surprised they did not get Christian Charles, who played early in this football game when Trayvon Flowers came out for a few plays. He and Tamarion McDonald more run in the second half when Tennessee was – and when the game was out of reach.
Right.
You know, that last 7 or 8 minutes, I would have played as many young kids as you can, just because you're going to need them. I mean, you know, you have kids dropping like flies. They need to continue to build depth.
Yeah.
And I think those guys will be very important going forward. And, yeah, McCullough is just he's struggling right now. And we'll see if Tennessee decides to go in a different direction at safety. But I know one thing about Willie Martinez. He's big on older guys. He's big on experience and trust. And if he doesn't feel like he can trust any of those younger guys yet, they're not going to play.
Yep, that's right, because you saw Christian Charles give up a first down on a slant over the middle of the field on a fourth down play. I can't remember the yardage, but Christian Charles got beat there one-on-one, and I think that's the last we saw of Christian Charles. And Tamarion McDonald looked like he maybe could have picked off a pass there, and I don't really remember seeing McDonald back in there after that play either, so that speaks to what you bring up about the trust factor.
It's Tennessee and it's Florida. It is a 38-14 win for the Gators. Tennessee will be on the road again next week. It's a noon Eastern, 11 a.m. local time kick in Columbia, Missouri. He's been McKee. I'm Austin Price. That's it from here in Gainesville.